From Studio 22, you're listening to Servcast with your host, William Lamb. Servcast is dedicated to challenging those who have a desire to serve, lead, and make the world a better place through the love of Jesus Christ. And now, here's William.
Hey, welcome to Servcast. We're glad you joined us today. This is episode 60. That's right, 60. And we are glad you are listening. Our guest today is Dr. Carolyn Dirksen and Dr. Jimmy Harper. Dr. Dirksen recently retired at Lee University after 50 years of service, faculty member, senior academic officer, faculty coach, many other responsibilities along the way. You'll hear from her and her energy and her excitement and her journey. Also, Dr. Harper, for 18 years, has been the campus pastor at Lee and is now transitioning into a role as a president of a Christian school, private Christian school, here in Cleveland, Tennessee. So, these were also our guests for the inaugural episode that we did with Servcast back in August 25, 2016. So, hey, I think you're going to enjoy it. Stay tuned. We'll have perspectives from Dr. Dirksen and Dr. Harper about faith, leadership, and service. And we'll also have a Lee U worship tune at the end for you to reflect on the dialogue today. Thank you. All right, we're back. Welcome to Studio 22 and Servcast. Dr. Carolyn Dirksen is in the room with us, live and in person. And Dr. Jimmy Harper. Welcome, guys. We're glad you're here.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
Excited to be here.
Yeah.
Can you believe that we sat at the same desk, different microphones, I guess, but at the same desk? This was in 2016, and we launched this idea of, you know, Servcast. It's been 59 episodes ago, so this is episode 60.
Cool.
Wow. How many years have you been at Lee, Carolyn?
50.
All right, episode 60. Jimmy, how many years were you at Lee?
18 years.
18 years. Now, I asked them those questions because Dr. Dirksen and Dr. Harper are both retiring, or actually have officially retired. No, Jimmy's not retired. That's right. Dr. Dirksen has retired, and Jimmy has is leaving Lee to go be the president of Tennessee Christian Preparatory School in Cleveland, Tennessee. Is that right?
That's right, but I'm still teaching part-time at Lee.
Absolutely. You'll probably do that for a very long time.
Until I die.
And I'm sure that, Dr. Dirksen, you'll probably be doing something with us as well somewhere.
Something, yes.
I think I offered to her earlier that she could be a greeter in the Leonard Center.
I said yes.
That's better than a greeter at some big box store, right?
That's right. That's right. And you don't even have shopping carts for me to deal with. So
that's true. But we do have students trying to get service hours, so that would be an interesting.
I'm good at that.
You're good at that, I'm sure. I'm sure. Okay, guys, let's dig into this thing today. Let's talk about faith, leadership, and service. In this first segment, we're going to talk about this idea of faith. And so I think it'd be fitting and fun for our listeners to kind of hear from you about, what does the word faith mean to you? Now, you're both believers, and you've committed your life to serving God and serving other people and reflecting Jesus to a world of chaos. But when you talk about the word faith, what's very personal with you with the idea of your Christian faith? What does that mean?
Let me jump in. I always say, I don't know if this makes sense to anyone but me, but I always say that I have a gift of faith because I have never struggled with believing really the most detailed aspects of Christianity. Mm. I just believe it. Mm. And, you know, I've been through a PhD program in a secular university, and I never really thought, yeah, this may not be true. And I know that that's kind of uncommon, so I always think that I really have it. I think that my faith is a gift because I never struggle with it.
I would agree with that because, I mean, I can't say that for myself. I mean, there's been plenty of times in my own life I've questioned, you know, whether or not this thing is really real. You know, that's I think it's a gift. And I think you've expressed that gift very well in the years that I've known you, Dr. Dirksen, as you've kind of shared that with other people. Jimmy, what comes to mind when you think about the word faith?
Well, I keep going back to this scripture in Micah 6:8. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. I just see faith different. I see faith, yes, faith is our response to God, but faith is also our response to humanity around us. I think that faith is a way for us to show the love of God, to experience great things with people and in community. So to me, faith is not just my response to God, but it's my response to people around me.
So let's talk about that, because 18 years, you know, you've been the campus pastor at Lee University, and for 50 years, Dr. Dirksen has been a professor and senior academic officer and a faculty coach and many other things along the way. So what are some of the faith challenges that you've seen while you've been at Lee University, in particular as it relates to college students?
For me, sometimes I think when you see difficulty, your faith wavers a little bit because you think, well, why does this have to happen? Why does this have to take place? Just recently, another shooting in a school. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, God, why does this have to take place? Why is there so much evil in the world? Why do things, bad things have to happen to good people? So for me, the struggle comes in those times, in those places, when I see people on the streets of New York City begging who don't have a job or a home or even friends or family. Those are the things that kind of help me struggle with faith. But then again, that's what gives me a resolve to respond to those things, because when I see the need in the world, then I see the need for me to respond in ways that brings faith back to the central part of everything that I do and everything that I say. So for me, it's difficult to see the difficult times, but it's good to see those because it provokes me, it prods me mm-hmm. to kind of be involved in the lives of others.
Mm-hmm. I just think about our students and what a very complex world they're going into. I just hope we're giving them the tools that they need for that because I think it can shake your faith, all the things Jimmy mentioned, but so many other things too that just make it. It's not a rosy Sunday school world out there, and I think we have such a beautiful environment on campus and so caring, and then we flush them out into the real world, which is harsh. Mm-hmm. And I worry about them. I pray for them, and I think they have such good tender hearts. Mm-hmm. I hope that they're not challenged by those things that Jimmy's talking about.
So how have you, Dr. Dirksen, been inspired by college students? Now, you've been an inspiration to a lot of us in a lot of different ways. I mean, I don't even think I got a chance to tell you this. I did get a chance to take a picture with you when we were dressed in our academic regalia at graduation. You know, you were the commencement speaker this year for the centennial celebration at Lee. But and you inspired many of the people, you know, that you were calling out their names, and they were supposed to be, you know, kind of a reflection of many of the other students that graduated. But how have students inspired you in your own journey of faith? How have they inspired you to dig in, even in your own world of chaos that we're living in?
Well, I love the freshness that they bring to this, and the hope, the trust, the openness. I love their creativity. I love their really non-judgmental attitude. I think my generation, we grew up with a checklist of things that you absolutely had to be or God didn't love you. And I think these students don't have that. They just have this real openness and they can really see that people are created in the image of God and worthy of love. And that's what they see, not, yes, they're fallen. They're, you know, they're marked mm-hmm. by original sin. I think my generation focused more on the fallen original sin aspect of humankind. And they focus more on creation in the image of God. Both things are true.
Sure.
But one drives your perception of people or the other. And I think I love that they are driven by the idea that people are loved by God and therefore mm-hmm. need to be loved by us.
Mm-hmm. Now we realize not every student that comes to Lee espouses Christian faith. We realize that we have a lot of students who come to Lee that this is their first exposure to the Christian faith. So what are some encouraging observations that you've seen along the way of how this community of faith at Lee is, you know, you talk about embracing one another and loving one another and accepting one another and all of those, but what are some ways that you've also tangibly, I guess, visibly seen this idea that this is a first experience for many students? What are they seeing? You know, what are you seeing as an observation, Jimmy, from these people, these students that are coming from different backgrounds, different faith perspectives, some with no faith perspective whatsoever?
I think a college campus is a great place to see that kind of picture unfold.
Yeah.
And for me, the passion, like Dr. Dirksen was talking about, the passion that I see in the students, our students at Lee are ready to embrace and engage. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a strong point for them, because they are then able to show the love of God, show their faith and how their faith moves them on a daily basis. So for me, the college campus is a great place to see the passion of young people, unencumbered by the strong difficulties of the world and unencumbered by some of the things that weigh those of us who are older down. They're just ready to jump in, dig in, help people, love people, show people the love of God, and really with passion unfold the gospel, the story of the gospel, to people who don't even know. And they're telling the story, sometimes without words. Mm.
You know, we have a service learning requirement at Lee University, and we talked about that in the very first episode. And you know, Dr. Dirksen, you were kind of at the beginning stages of that, long before we even launched the Leonard Center. You know, you were at the beginning stages of the dialogue among faculty peers and talking about this idea, you know, of service. But what do you see? I think the question I'm getting to is what have you seen, or how have you seen this faith integration through the service experience for students? You know, as they come here and they serve, and how is that impacting their faith perspective, I guess, is the question I'm trying to get to.
I think it's really been important because, you know, as I said, we try to create this garden atmosphere on campus, and it's really loving and lovely. But we also say, no, now you have to go across the tracks and see what other people's life is like. And I think that engagement, that combination of having a safe haven to go home to, but being forced out there to have an engagement with people who are in a very different place and live a very different kind of life, and to see how they are responsible for that. They're responsible for trying to make that better, to take all their academic gifts and skills and apply it to those problems that they see firsthand in the world, because we take them there. We say, yes, you have to see this to make them understand that they can make it better.
But you know what I'm glad about is they're not running from those things that we present to them. They're engaging. They're digging into those things, and they're not running from the problems or the issues. And that gives me such hope for this generation. It really does.
And I would say that's the big change since the beginning. When we first started this, even the faculty were saying, okay, how can you require service? Because service has to be voluntary by definition. And we're like, okay, well, we're going to do it. So, and I think it now students don't as much argue about why are we doing this as they come here because they want to do it. They know that's part of our curriculum, and so that's one of the reasons they come here.
What's been some of the now I'm indicting myself here because I'm sitting in front of an English professor and I don't do very well with my native language, which is English, and so how. You know, what have been some of the most impacting service experiences that you have been part of that are faith-based and faith-related? Not everything that we do, you know, obviously is going to have the faith component readily visible. Now, it should be driven by faith, no doubt. But, you know, we're going to kind of go pick up trash somewhere that might not have a faith component visible for somebody else to see. But what have been some of the most fun or the most enjoyable moments that you've had serving with students while you've been at Lee?
I think the Deke Day experience is almost a shocking experience for some of our students. They really don't know what to expect, and when they get there, they're just eaten up with this ability to connect with the folks who are sitting in those nursing homes, sometimes not even able to talk, sometimes not even able to look at them or see them. Mm-hmm. But they're just eaten up with this ability to impact. Also, I think some of the things that we do around here, like crossover has been a really good experience for me, and I've always gotten my classes involved with crossover, and that's where we go to the other side of town, just not far from here, to East Cleveland, and really dig in with some folks and build relationships. And we've had some folks who have come back and said, I'm going to do this every week. I like this. So it's powerful to see how the ability to serve and the opportunity to serve leads to a response that's so engaging and so favorable for the students.
I had a benevolence class, and we, for our service project, planned a party for an adult daycare center. And it's a little bit different from Life Bridges, a smaller group. And so you know, they were really tentative about it. We went out there and visited them to kind of get an interview and see what they might like and to find out what their food allergies were or what, you know, whatever, what kind of capacity they would have for what kinds of games. And then the class divided up and planned the food, planned the games. And so we went out there. And at first, my students were very tentative and they were kind of standing back. But by the end of that time, they were completely engaged. And really, when they wrote their reflection on it, I was in tears reading the reflections because just the sense of that kind of interaction being possible, they really loved it. And so, of course, the clients loved it. So, you know, that was a one-time only shot. And I agree with Jimmy that the long-term where you go back and back and back and really get involved in people's lives is the best, but that was a wonderful one-time experience.
Mm-hmm. Now, we're in our centennial year at Lee University, right? And 50 of those years you have been here. How have you seen the faith development over those 50 years as it relates to, and I know you talked about it earlier, and you really challenged us at the front end to be aware of that we have to be responsible in our educating students and educate them well. But what has been that development that you've seen in faith and in hopes that we are preparing students well for when they leave the Lee University campus and go into their own world to make impact?
I think in the beginning, when I first came here, we always have had outreach and we've always had a kind of service, but it was mostly couched in terms of evangelism in the beginning. So we did street services and jail services and Pioneers for Christ going door-to-door evangelism explosion. And along with that came service and came seeing the needs of other people. But it was kind of the sideline. And I think, if anything, we've sort of turned that on its head. And the idea is Jesus gave service regardless of what he got back from it. He served people without a motive other than just being good, being God. And so I think we've kind of turned that around. So that's kind of what our students see in it now. And they act like Jesus in front of people, and that's always appealing. And so you don't have to beat people over the head with a gospel message and then give them a sandwich. You can give them a sandwich, and they'll see Jesus in that. And I think that's prepared them for the kind of life they're going into, as much as you can prepare them. Mm-hmm. And of course, I think our education, the quality has really just gone geometrically better since 50 years ago.
Jimmy, you get a chance to lead students on service trips into a lot of places around the world. So how have you seen their faith challenged over these years in different locations? You know, because it's one thing to go back to your own, you know, locale to where you kind of are comfortable. But then when you have to go to a whole different culture, how have you seen that develop in students?
Well, I think it's challenged them. But I think in some ways, you know, India, Haiti, Nicaragua, all over the world, places that I've gone, it's almost good to give the students the ability to get out. And if they fail, it really doesn't matter because they're doing something. It gives them confidence to move forward, realizing these people may not ever see me again. So I'm glad that if I don't do such a great job, at least I'm trying. But it gives them confidence to come back and in their own locale. I think the strength of what we do here, I've enjoyed teaching benevolence over the last few years. The benevolence component that we've put into the curriculum gives students a chance to sort of be real and be consistent with what they're doing in service. You know, we give episodes, the things that Dr. Dirksen was talking about with Pioneers for Christ and going on invasions and those kinds of things, a ministerial association from years ago. All those things were wonderful. We did tons of that. But now I think we give them the ability to both understand and engage in something that becomes a consistent part of their lifestyle. And to me, that makes the difference.
I want to say, too, that when students go internationally to do service, they find people who are so rock solid in their faith. If anything, they learn from them. You know, I've taken students to Liberia for the last 3 years, and you won't find anybody more faithful to the Lord and more grateful for everything they have, which is virtually nothing, than people in Liberia. And for our students to see that and see kind of a rough edge, rock bottom Christianity where they have to rely on God because there's nothing else, and just the joy that comes from that, that's that passes understanding for sure.
Mm-hmm. Faith is very personal, but it's also very corporate, very public in how we express it. And so I've been encouraged to have the experience for 15 years to kind of be around the two of you and watch your faith, you know, develop over the years and challenge me. So we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. We're going to talk about leadership, and we're going to, you know, ask you to give us all of your leadership wisdom over these years and talk about ways in which we can continue to make impact in this crazy world. Hey, we're back. We're going to talk about leadership. So, how do you define leadership, Jimmy?
You know, there are so many different ways, and leadership has been such a crazy buzzword for the last few years. Leadership is something that I think we don't just do, but we live out. So for me, leadership is who I am more than what I do. And I think if we can engage with our students here at Lee and with the community and with folks in the church in terms of who we are, I think leadership has to be more about who we are rather than what we do. To me, who we are is the more important statement there.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Dirksen, I'm going to ask you a question that I hope will incite some pretty good dialogue for just a minute, because you are one of the leading female leaders that I'm aware of, especially in the education arena, not just at Lee University in particular, but I mean literally in the world of academia. You know, you've established yourself as a solid, consistent, capable, caring leader. Is there a difference? And there is. But what do you see as a difference between male leadership and female leadership in the world in which we're in today? And how do we need to be aware of that reality?
Well, again, as Jimmy said, there have been a lot of books written on this, but this is what I see. And I know that it's a continuum, and there are male leaders that are close to the middle and female leaders that are close to the male end, etc. But I think my experience has been that men tend to lead more hierarchically, from a base of power and authority, and women tend to lead more collegially from a basis of influence. And I think that's because of the way the world has worked, in that women haven't been given power, so they've had to lead from a level playing field of trying to get people to cooperate with them, and to do that by being collegial and by discerning people's gifts and trying to put them in a task that fits them. Or so I think a leader is someone who gets things done, whether or not they have a title and whether or not they have institutional authority. So that's kind of what I've seen as a difference. And I think that model is now becoming more of an accepted model across genders, where it's not quite so hierarchical.
And I think relationship leading or relational leading is a key factor.
Right.
And I think you've demonstrated that very well. Both of you have done that very well. Gary Uchol defines leadership as it basically says that leadership is influence. So if you have influence, you're a leader, obviously, at some level. Let's talk about the distinction between, I hate to use this term, but it seems to be most applicable here, secular leadership and faith-based leadership. Is there a distinction between the two? And if there is, what do we need to know about that distinction between the two?
I think there's definitely a distinction between the two. I think sometimes secular-based leadership looks at the leadership principles and seeks to guide from those principles, not worrying about the faith and aspect of things. I think in faith-based leadership, we look at what our faith in God demands, what our faith in God prescribes, what our faith in God brings about. And I hope we seek to lead relationally, because a relationship with Christ is how God wants to lead us, And I think our relationship with the community around us, I think that's how we should seek to lead others mm-hmm. to Christ and through Christ. So to me, I think there is a major difference.
Mm-hmm. I think there's also the aspect of passion that you have in a faith-based operation where, you know, you're not as worried about work-life balance. You're just doing what needs to be done, and you're doing it with all your heart yeah. and not clocking in and out maybe as much as you would in a different kind of environment. Yeah. So I think that whole I'm doing this for God, this is my vocation part of it is very powerful.
Yeah.
You've done that well, and you've done that now for 50 years for us to see. So let me ask you, how did you get to this place? You didn't come to Lee as immediately as a leader, but you've developed into a very established leader over the years. So what are some lessons that you learned along the way, and what are some steps that someone else might could take to establish their leadership in such a relational bridge-building kind of approach that would provide them with a sense of fulfillment for that many years?
Well, I'll say two things I think that are particularly important in my life. One of them is I worked with faculty this whole time, and with faculty, there's no such thing as hierarchy. It's you're with the smartest people in the room all the time, every day, and true. There's always somebody there who knows more than you do about something.
I feel like that right now.
And so if you think that you're over them and you can lead them top down, you might as well just forget it. So that's the culture I grew up in. I literally became an adult in the culture of the faculty, which is very collegial and very, very non-hierarchical in that way. However, for me, I needed mentors, and I needed someone who did have power to give me a hand up, and I had that. And I think that was a huge gift. Mm-hmm. And the first person who did that for me was Charles W. Kahn. Mm-hmm. And when I was just a kid, I was literally in my early 20s, and he just didn't care. He didn't care that I was female. He didn't care that I was young. He just listened to me. He gave me a voice. And when I think back, and I think I totally did not deserve to have a voice. Why was he listening to me? But he was a mentor to me in a way that gave me a place and gave me a way to contribute and ideas for what I could contribute. And then Paul Kahn also, we were peers for years. We taught together, and we were, you know, both on faculty for 14 years. And then when he became president, he had confidence in what I had to offer because we had been faculty peers mm-hmm. in that collegial, egalitarian world of faculty. Mm-hmm. And so when he had power and authority and was at the top of the hierarchy, he was very mindful of me and what I needed to be brought up. So mm-hmm. I had both.
Jimmy, you've done most of your work with students, I think, on the flip side of that. So talk about that as it relates to developing leaders.
Well, I guess I go back to sports for my learning about
team. We knew
team.
He would do this,
yes,
right,
yes,
Carolyn?
Yes.
We knew he would do this.
No, you know, no matter which part I played on the team.
Position.
Part,
roll,
bench warmer, whatever I did, you know, I had the ability to gain a lot from the people around me. And that transferred into a lot of what I do now. And so I still see leadership in a team approach. We all work together. And no, I'm not always the smartest guy in the room. I'm not always the quickest guy to get something done in the room. I'm not always the best person for the job. But as long as I can understand that all of us work together, but isn't that what Jesus did? Isn't that what he did? He brought the community together and inspired us all to work together to bring about great things. You know, we can do great things within ourselves, but we can't do nearly what we could if we would gather with other people. Gathering with other people means that we have more strength and more ability and more insight and more knowledge and more ways to do things. So to me, the whole team approach, and it works with students as well, because they're sometimes very laid back when it comes to their approach to leadership. They're not sure. I spoke with a student today, and she was talking about, you know, I'm not sure I can do this. I'm not sure if I can actually pull this off. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to do this. Well, we've got to work together, because when we work together, we all gain strength and insight and ability from the people around us. So students, I think, are laid back in a big way until they get their feet wet. Then they wade a little bit deeper, and then they go a little bit deeper until they're covered up, but they're loving it. And they engage that way better. They slide in little by little, but boy, when they get their feel for the water, man, they love it.
What was a defining moment for you, Dr. Dirksen, that turned you to really understand that this was going to be your life? I mean, not, you know, a lot of people change jobs, man. They change places. But I mean, you were consistent, and you stayed, you endured a lot, good and bad, perhaps. But what was a defining moment? And the reason I'm asking this question is because I want our listeners to be able to hear today. I don't know who all's listening. We do know this. We're being listened to in 48 countries, I think. I mean, sorry, 48 states, and I think 11 countries the last time we checked. So we know that people are listening to Surfcast. For that person today who's struggling, man, they're trying to figure out, you know, am I called to be a leader? What do I do? How long do I endure? What were some defining moments? Yeah, you had some great mentors, but you had to own it yourself. What did that look like?
Well, there were several points. I was here for a year and was only hired for a year. I went home that summer not thinking I was coming back. And I was called back. I was invited to come back, which was huge for me because I hadn't really thought I was very well liked. I mean, students liked me, but I didn't think I was a big hit with the administration.
That's my hope, is students like me.
So the thought that they had enough confidence in me to ask me to come back, it had been a one-year appointment. I wasn't fired or anything, but that they wanted to extend that and give me a 10-year track contract, that was huge for me to think, well, I was accepted. I must have done something right. So, and then another big important thing for me was when I was named department chair, and that was in 1984-85, and the department chair that I was under, Dr. Hummertson, died unexpectedly. I was in China at the time, and it didn't even occur to me that I would be named department chair, but when I received a letter saying that I had been chosen as chair, so again it was like, wow, you know, so they had confidence in me to make me department chair. So then I felt like, you know, I felt accepted. I felt that I had been seen, and that it was recognized that I had something to offer. So those were great moments. But I will say that being at Lee for 50 years has been such an incredible experience, because Lee has been on an upward swing for all but maybe three of those years. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you have so much chance when things are growing and developing and changing. You have so much chance to have input and to put your foot in the water and make things different. So, you know, like this whole thing of developing the service program. Well, it's huge now when you think about, we were there at the very beginning when we didn't even have the money for it. We were trying to figure out how to get the money. Yeah. We were trying to write the proposals for the grant, and then we got it. Then we got to spend it. We got to figure out from the ground up how to make this structure work. Mm-hmm. And of course it was, as I always say, lay the tracks while the train is coming. You got 3,000 students are going to have this as a requirement, so now what do we do? Mm-hmm. So anyway,
you hire William Lamb, that's what you do.
You hire William Lamb, and then what do you do? So yeah. I mean, so, but it's always been like that, just one big opportunity after another dropping in your lap, or you have an idea and it's possible, because you've got growth and you know you've got people who are idealistic and visionary working with you. So it's been fun.
Now, Jimmy, you've been here 18 years, and you know, while God's called and allowed and empowered, you know, Dr. Dirksen to stay here for 50, you're leaving us after 18. Yeah. You know, yeah, you're going to teach here, but your main focus is now leaving. So for those persons that might be listening today and say, you know, I'm a leader and I'm called to lead, but it might be time for me to leave. How do you get to the place where you hear God speak something so clear that we know your passion for Lee. You bleed Lee, man. If we cut you right now, you're going to bleed Lee, right?
That's right.
So how do you get to the place that you're willing to say, you know, God, I'll take this challenge. I'll step forward into the next opportunity.
Leaving Lee full time was one of the most difficult things I've ever in my life had to do, ever. I told Dr. Khan the other day as I was meeting with him that these have been the best 18 years of my life, mm-hmm. and I truly mean that. But I also think that you have to grow where you're planted. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe I look at things differently, but I think everybody leads. I think everybody has an opportunity to lead.
Yeah.
I think everybody can lead. Sometimes I think we want to be the one on the stage, and we're not ready for that yet. Sometimes I think we want to be the leader, and we're not ready for that yet. And I saw in Dr. Dirksen and Dr. Khan and Dr. Charles Khan and a lot of other people here at Lee University over the years, I have seen some amazing leaders, and I've watched them, sometimes close and sometimes from a distance. I've grown because of watching them. I've learned because of watching them. I have gained so much insight because of watching them. And so I think maybe at this point it's time for me to go on and to take the things that I've learned at Lee University. I never would have been prepared to lead at TCPS had it not been for my 18 years at Lee University. Mm-hmm. I can honestly and completely forthright say that. Mm-hmm. That I never would have been ready to lead at TCPS without the 18 years here at Lee University. Mm-hmm. But I have grown where I've been planted. And now I'm going to be planted in another field, but I'm going to continue to grow. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to keep my connections here at Lee because I can't completely lose that.
Well, I hope not, because you're going to be sending students here when they graduate from
TCPS. Exactly. Yes.
To
yes.
Lee University. And now that you're not probably going to be teaching Gateway, you could suggest they take my Gateway class, right?
There
because
you go.
I'm going to be here for 50 years, Carolyn. I have, 35 more to go. Imagine that.
There you
yeah,
go.
I can't hardly wait. Did I tell you I was going to be a grandfather?
I believe you did mention that, yes.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Now for the 51st time, she
a few
like
times.
To say.
A few times, yeah.
Hey, guys, hang tight. We'll be right back. We're going to listen to these experts as they talk about the idea of service and how you can begin to make this impact that they've been already challenging us to do in your own life. We'll be right back. All right, guys, we're back. We're going to talk about this final segment of this episode. We're going to talk about service. Now, we've been talking about service all the way through, so I think we might go terribly academic with it for just a minute, if that's the right approach to say terribly academic. We might just be intentional about academics for just a minute. Books. I'm sure you have read. Have you read thousands of books, Dr. Dirksen, or just hundreds?
I think probably thousands.
Probably thousands. Hey, Jimmy, have you read hundreds of pages or thousands of pages?
A lot.
So I want each of you to think about what book comes to mind, you know, when you talk about leadership, you talk about faith, you talk about service. What book have you read, your go-to, that you think, you know what, hey, man, if you're really wanting to make an impact in the world, you need to read this book. Well, we're going to give them an intentional pause while they think about it, so don't leave us, and you'll hear our voices in just a minute.
Well, I can give you a couple right away.
Go ahead.
I think the Kuzes and Posner Leadership Challenge.
Yep.
The 10 tenets of leadership that they talk about. I think those are very powerful. And I've read one recently by Mark Rutland, Relaunch, mm-hmm. that is just a phenomenal, phenomenal leadership booklet. He talks about his experiences with a couple of different colleges and in ministry, and wow, it's just full of insight. There are tons, but those two are the two that kind of stick out for me at this point.
Well, if you're talking about service in particular, I would say When Helping Hurts mm-hmm. has been a real shaping book for me, and also, Half the Sky and The Female Vision, you know, they're kind of different, but Half the Sky is about women from the developing world, and really just the heartbreaking information about how the majority of women in the world live in the 21st century. So, So anyway, I think that's a real motivator for service and a real motivator for female leadership as well.
I also like Sider's book. Now, it's an old one, but Rich Christians in an Age of Hunger.
Yeah.
That's a classic when it comes to service. It's amazing. And then there's another one that I think brings balance to service, Toxic Charity. Mm-hmm. A powerful, powerful book as well.
Mm-hmm. That is a really good book. And many of our students are reading at least excerpts of that book when they're in benevolence. There's a couple of excerpts in their reading requirement for that particular class. And I think that the challenge is, because it is relational leaders, you know, we want to I want to meet needs, and also want to develop other leaders. Mm-hmm. You know, meet needs, develop other leaders. You know, is there a way that I can not necessarily pass off? I think about backyard. I think about, you know, the school bus days when I used to drive a school bus. And now, you know, backyard, I think this year is 24, 25 years now that backyard has been existing. And man, I don't do a whole lot with it. You know, students really own that. And I think leadership lends itself to that opportunity to pass off and give something to someone else. So let me ask you another question. As you think about what's next for you, Dr. Dirksen, okay, we know you're not going to retire. You're going to officially retire from your duties at Lee and then travel the world for us and other places, I'm sure. But what do you think about in a sense of what do you really want to leave to other people as you leave this official full-time post? What do you want to leave to other people, the baton that you want to pass to them that would help them to be successful like you have been privileged and honored to be for so many years?
The thing that I really hope and pray is that Lee will always have this vision of a service to the world, responsibility, and taking our gifts and making them work for other people's advantage. Responsibility for the way things are in the world. Not that we caused it, but that we have a calling to invest ourselves in making it better and improving it. And that's what our gifts are for. So it's kind of the rich Christian's idea. Mm-hmm. How can you be so tied up with the minuscule things that you want and, you know, the brand names and all that sort of thing when people are starving to death, or when there's so much inequity and systemic injustice in the world? And so having students continue to grasp the idea that they can help, that they can make the world a better place. And although I mentioned when helping hurts, I really don't want students to get the feeling that, I'll probably do this wrong, so I really better not do anything. Better I don't do anything at all than jump in there with both feet and make a mess. I want them to have that clear-eyed idealism where they do step out into the world and bring their gifts with them and say, I think I have something to offer here, without pride, without arrogance. Just move into that with humility.
Jimmy, as you get ready to lead this next generation, you know, what are some challenges that you want to help the college students to be aware of as we see this all the time where students at Lee are mentoring, you know, we have the Big Pal, Little Pal programs. We have a number of different programs where college students are mentoring high school students or middle school students, and in some cases, you know, intellectually challenged adults, and they're really investing their lives on a weekly basis with them. So what are some challenges that you have for those that are still here to focus in as they begin to try to continue this mentoring leadership style that they're involved in?
I think the challenge for me has always been, I've always wanted to leave a legacy. And I think if we can encourage our students, the college students, to get plugged in somewhere and leave a legacy. But the best way that they can do that is to live a legacy. Because I think sometimes, like Dr. Dirksen says, we get so afraid to step out, to get involved, to do something wrong, that we don't do something at all. And if we can just understand that God's going to bless our efforts and help us, and if we can get plugged in, get engaged, find a need and seek to fill it, do something, just something, even if it's a small something, do something, if we can do something, then God will get behind that and form something like Backyard or Big Brother program or Adopt a Grandparent program or the Nitwits. Mm-hmm. Who knows what can happen?
That's great.
Exactly.
I like that.
Who knows what can happen if we'll just get involved, let our passions, as Buechner says, meet the world's needs, figure out a way to dig in, then we can leave a legacy by living a legacy. God wants us to be influencers, to be people of impact, to be models and examples and disciples who then make others disciples.
Mm-hmm. One of my mentors was Cliff Schimmels. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if people are listening to us can't see it today, but on my top of one of my bookcases, I've got Between Shakespeare's Faces. I've got about 7 or 8 books, I think it is, that Cliff wrote. And one of those has my name and his name both on it. You know, I think it was his 21st book and my first book and my last book, I guess, now. So I have some others that not yet published. You know, Cliff always told me, Carolyn, that your best book may be the one that's never published. Mm-hmm. But it's the one you write at the most realist form, you know, you really write about that book. And he also challenged me, and he said, William, he said, you know, he said, God sometimes looks down on us and he says, I got a job for somebody to do. And he said, you're not much, but you're the best I've got, you know? And I think what I'm hearing you guys say today, yeah, you've got celebrations and you've got victories and you've got challenges and you've got failures, and we all do.
Yeah.
And you've got, I'm sure, some unending nervousness about your next assignment, you know, Jimmy, and probably a sense of, should I have left earlier? Did I leave too soon? You'll always have those questions, you know. Should I have stayed for 10 more years? You know, I think we'll always have those moments in us as we try this human approach to really trust a deity that we can't see, but yet we can believe for so many years, you know, and not let our faith waver. And Cliff always encouraged me to own it, you know, to really, really own it. And so what are some closing thoughts that you have for our audience today on owning their own faith, developing in their own leadership model while serving in the place that God plants them?
I want to quickly say that I know we have to talk about it in this way, but I don't like the idea of a service project. I think it sounds like it's limited in time and it's a one-shot effort, and it distances you from the people that you're working with. And I like the idea of just being in service at all times, and that involves taking as well as giving. And every time I spout off about something, I said something at Christmas about, oh, shouldn't keeping Christ in Christmas, doesn't that mean we should have homeless people in our home? And so the next day there's a homeless person in my office. It's like, okay, well, put your money where your mouth is, girl. So, yeah. Mm. So I think that we don't have to, you know, go to Liberia to find something for our hand to do that's useful that God puts in our path. And so, you know, if all else fails, make soup, invite people around your table.
Yeah.
It's not that hard. It's not that hard. It doesn't take a big apparatus. I'm grateful that we have one. But God will bring people to you that need you if your eyes are open to them.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. And that you need.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Reciprocity does work.
It really does.
Yeah. It really, really does work.
Yeah.
Jimmy?
I think I'm right there with Dr. Dirksen. You know, find something where you are. I said it a little bit ago, but grow where you're planted. Look around you, and you will see all kinds of, not just needs, but opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
Opportunities to respond to people and to love people and to serve people and to care for people and to journey with people.
Mm-hmm.
This thing of service, faith, and leadership is a journey. It's a process. It's not episodic. We talk about that around here at Lee all the time. Mm-hmm. We don't just do episodes of service and feel good about ourselves, pat ourselves on the back, and move on to whatever else we want to do. No, it becomes a process, a lifestyle, a journey. And I think if we can adopt that approach to just dig in and become a person who serves because we want to lead people in a positive way because our faith says we have to, we must.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we make a big difference.
Mm-hmm. You know, Jimmy, Scripture talks about a friend loveth at all times and a brother is born for adversity. You have been a brother. You've been a friend. I look forward to our future talks, our lunches, mm-hmm. our friendships, our laughters, our tears we've shared. You know, I really appreciate the time that I got to work with you here and spend with you here. So we encourage you, man, as you go forward, just to, you know, do what you know is the thing to do. And that's just, man, give it all you got and trust the Lord and watch him bless it, you know, and watch him give you favor in that regard. Dr. Dirksen, I want to say on this podcast today, I appreciate you believing in me in the early day when I was dangerously bold, maybe not necessarily teachable and somewhat resistant, but yet I think that you trusted my heart, and I really sense that, and I believe that, and I really appreciate that. I think there's some things that we can celebrate together at Lee that we've put our hand to that, man, if tomorrow is not given to us, either of the three of us, and I hope it is, but if tomorrow we don't get a chance to live it, I do think that the legacy has been left in a great way with our students. And that's why I invited you to Servcast today. I wanted students to really hear that you begin early, you trust, you work hard, you pray, you trust, you just keep going, you know. And so I want to thank you, Dr. Dirksen and Jimmy, for just being with us today and being who you are and giving what you've given for so very, very long. And I believe that God will continue to bless that. And now I'm going to put you on the spot, Dr. Dirksen, and I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. I've only done this a few times. I want you to pray. I want you to pray today. And at the end of her prayer, don't leave us. This is going to be the end of this episode today. But don't leave. As you know, we're going to have a Lee U worship tune that's going to come on at the end of this podcast today, and that's intentional for you to be able to reflect, for you to think about what maybe God is speaking to you today. Well, how is God challenging you today? So as Dr. Dirksen concludes her prayer in just a minute, and I'm going to ask her to pray specifically today for our listeners, that somehow they would be able to hear what God might be saying to them, and they would be willing to step out like the two of you have done so many times and make this trust faith walk to move forward for the kingdom of God. So stay with us, reflect on it. Until next time, and God bless you, and have a great day.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the blessings that you've given us, for the opportunities that we've had to work with such wonderful people, to work with such wonderful students, and we thank you for your hand in helping us build the structure for service at Lee. And Father, I ask you to open the eyes of everyone who listens to this, Lord, to see the neighbor that needs them and that can be served by them with your love flowing through them toward that person. We ask you, Lord, that we wouldn't have a checklist of things this person has to measure up to before they're considered to be worthy of our service, but we ask you, Lord, to have us see them with your eyes of love, and to see them as your creations and people for whom you were willing to die. We ask you, Lord, to make us mindful of what we can do that's so much less than what you've already done. And we ask you, Lord, to bless these listeners and to give them a vision for what they can do for you in the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We find ourselves waiting again to feel the waves stirred by heaven. Spirit of God, move as your heart desires. All of our walls come crashing down as we lean in to hear you now. Spirit of God, speak as your heart desires. Let the fullness of your presence come like fire on unto me. In these last hours, let your power on us, heaven on earth. accomplished. Your kingdom come starts within us. Spirit of God, do as your heart desires. Expectant, show us glimpses of you as you do something new. We're expectant, we're expectant, with our hands lifted high and our hearts open wide. We're expectant, we're expectant.
Expect. Thank you guys so much for joining us on Servcast. Be sure to rate and review us on iTunes and share us on Facebook. Hey, if you've got any questions, send them to servcast22@gmail.com. Thank you guys for tuning in. We'll see you next time on Servcast.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Servcast. The thoughts and opinions expressed on Servcast are those of William Lamb, his guest, and no one else. Until next time, this is Servcast, signing off from Studio 22.